This morning we're talking about the Christian's attitude towards sex, and by that I mean it's S-E-C-T-S, so let's not get confused about that. As we begin our lesson, and usually try to define some terms that we're trying to talk about, as does the author of the book. So what is a sect? The word sect means to cut off, to separate. The English word is from the same Latin root from which we get our word section. It denotes a part of the whole. The word section may refer to dividing or the parceling of a pie, an apple, or a body of land. We're probably familiar with, you know, parcels of land and so forth, especially those of us that own land and that have had to do paperwork and such on it. Just about all of us have to pay property taxes on a parcel, but we understand that that's a piece of land as land is divided up amongst different owners. The word sect connotes a division of people according to religion or philosophic principles. We use the word sectarianism and denominationalism in religion to denote a party of religious people who are in agreement or who have a platform upon which they stand, or who have a creed or rules or forms by which they are governed in their religious activities, and who have a name that distinguishes them or belongs peculiarly to them. Of course, we're familiar with, you know, a lot of the denominations. And in the lesson this morning, we're going to talk about the fact that the Lord's church is not a sect. There were those that viewed it as such in the time of Christ, but the authority for what we do, how we act, how we worship, all of that is contained in the Bible. We don't have a creed book or anything of that nature that we go by, where a lot of other, or where a lot of denominations do. And the second thing we want to look at in terms of what is a sect. At the time of Christ, the Jews were divided over interpretations of the law and over speculative opinions. The best known sects of the Jews were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. The unbelieving Jews characterized Christianity as a new sect. A sect among the Jews, a new division or party among the one people, that is the Jews. So those Jews that existed then viewed Christianity as a new sect. But we're going to look at the some passages and so forth that indicate that was not the case. They were not a new sect. So the first thing we want to look at is that the Christian is to recognize the word sect is never used with a divine sanctioning in the scriptures as belonging to Christianity. And we're going to kind of look at how it is used in scripture. I keep hitting that button. The word sect is found 5 times in the King James Version and 6 times in the Revised Version. It is from the Greek word heresis, from which comes the word heresy. King James translates heresy four times and sect five times, but they come basically from the same original Greek word. The revisers render it sect six times, factions twice, and heresies once. And we'll look at some of these passages as we get further into the lesson. And while in three places it is applied to Christians, it was so applied by their enemies and was not accepted by them. Acts 28, verse 22, this is an occasion where Paul had called the Jews together to talk to them, and they hadn't received any letters from Judea about Paul, nor have any brethren who have come reported spoken any evil of you. These are the Jews now talking to Paul, and they make a statement in verse 22, but we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. And what the sect that they're talking about is the teaching of Jesus. And, of course, the church has been established at this point, and Paul is teaching about that. And these Jews want to know more about it, and they refer to it as a sect. And they even make the point that it's spoken against everywhere by a lot of the Jews. Of course, there were some who were believers who heard the word and believed it and recognized Jesus for who he was, but most of the Jewish leadership did not. The words sect, faction, and heresy are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And of course, that's the whole point of, you know, what we just talked about, the various times that it's used and which words are used in various versions. No one understands faction or heresy to designate something honorable, right? When we're talking about a heresy or a faction or something like that, those words are used to describe something that's not honorable. It's not correct by those who believe that it's not correct. And the point that's being made here is, why view sect in any other light? A sect is not something that's has divine authority or divine intention, and it's never used that way. It's always used in a negative sense, except maybe by the Jews who were referring to their different groups of Jews that, you know, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes that we already mentioned. Paul numbers sex among the works of the flesh. Let's look at Galatians 5 and verse 16. This is one of the places where works of the flesh are listed. And Paul, when he's writing to the Galatians, in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so it lists dissensions and heresies here as part of those works of the flesh. Peter speaks of damnable heresies or sects in 2 Peter, and 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So there's a warning here about being aware that there are false prophets and false teachers that will bring in these destructive heresies. And so we kind of need to be aware of that, be on guard for it, use the scriptures as our guide for what God expects of us. Any comments about any of that before we move on? Still talking now about the idea that the word sex is never used with divine sanction in the scriptures or as belonging to Christianity. So the third point under that topic is that there is no such thing as a Christian sect. There may be innumerable sects, but Christians as sects, there will never be. And if we get to the point where we view ourselves as a sect, we need to go back to the scriptures and not not have that kind of an attitude.
Mm-hmm. And that's almost in the same light as a sect.
Right. Freddie's making the point here that some refer to Christianity or as to us as Church of Christ like it was a denomination or a sect today. As soon as a body of believers claiming to be a Church of Christ, and that, of course, speaks to the point that Freddie was just making, claiming to be a Church of Christ, become a sect, it ceases to be a Church of Christ. And I think the author here is not using the term Church of Christ as a name of, you know, that's on the sign out there in front of the building or something like that. He's talking about a church that belongs to Christ, that's following Christ. And there are a number of names that are mentioned in the scriptures that could be used scripturally to, you know, to designate a church. But you got to be careful about that and not allow it to become a sect. Church of Christ is just a term that is used to describe churches that belong to Christ. All right, the second thing that we want to look at is the Christian's attitude towards sex, what it involves. It involves deeming such as contrary to, first of all, to Christ's prayer. In John 17, verses 20 through 23, John 17, beginning verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. So basically, what is Jesus praying for here? Sorry, what?
Unity.
Unity, all right. Somebody else over here say something? Same thing? Okay. So unity is what Christ is praying for. So if we develop sex where we're, you know, different groups of people, then that unity is no longer there. And so we need to be unified together, be the same mind, what Paul says in other places, that we might serve the Lord together as one body. So let me bring this question up here. What about different congregations? Could that be considered a sect? I don't think so, because basically we meet together in a location, in a lot of places, unlike Limestone County, there are churches that are few and far between. And so a group in a locality might meet together as a congregation of the Lord, but we're all members of what's sometimes called the church universal or whatever, but basically all the Christians the world over. Just because there's a congregation here and a congregation there does not mean that those are different sects. We're all to believe the same thing and follow the scriptures. It also is contrary to Paul's plea in 1 Corinthians 1, and beginning verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each one of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. And then Paul asks the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So Paul's doing some teaching here with the Corinthians about their attitude and excuse me. They were not to separate themselves from one another based on who it was that converted them or anything like that. that we wear the name of Christ as Christians, and we don't need to be divided, we don't need to have contentions among us, and all of those things are involved in this particular passage. The third thing that it that sects are contrary to is the unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians in verse 4, or chapter 4 and verse 4, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this passage is talking about a unity, and we all need to be part of that one body. Division from that would be contrary to what God expects of us. Another thing that our attitudes towards sex involves is that such represents calamity and not spirituality. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3 in the first five verses. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to the spirit, as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, and that's the phrase we're looking at, divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So Paul here is teaching against these divisions, and of course, we know of other passages where he talks about the milk of the word, and that we, I forget who it was he was talking to, maybe in the Corinthians, about not maturing as Christians, that they were still in need of the milk. They couldn't handle solid food yet. Right. Yeah, I think one of the points in the lesson here that we're coming up on is going to talk about the Nazarenes. Freddie's making the point that we might consider why Christianity was considered a sect, and that it may have been because they were following Christ, who was from Nazareth, and they were called Nazarenes. Any other comments on any of that? Say that again. Right. Brother Stevens is talking about the fact that they were called Christians first at Antioch. Our attitude towards sex involves recognizing that sex are of the works of the flesh, and we've already read the passage about that, and that they have a part of such, or they that have a part of such, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, which is the latter part of that chapter that we read in Galatians. that, you know, if you're involved in that, and you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, which is a pretty serious consequence that we need to consider. It also involves never smiling upon or sanctioning the evil that they represent, but viewing them in scriptural connotation. 2 Peter 2:1, which we read just a few minutes ago, talks about that. And where we were talking about the false prophets bringing in destructive heresies. Also Romans 12 and verse 9. Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honoring, in honor giving preference to one another, and so forth. There's, you know, he's talking about something that's the opposite of creating a sect or becoming a sect. When a group of people becomes a sect, they have separated themselves from other people that are, you know, that they may have once counted as brethren. And one thing that, you know, that I think we ought to consider here is the fact that, you know, there are passages that talk about us coming out and being separate. It's talking about being separate from the world, where if you consider yourself a sect, you separate yourself from other people, then it might seem like those two ideas are contrary to one another. But our fellowship has to be in Christ, and that's what the key point is here, is that who we are in fellowship with has to be based on the Scriptures, that our unity should be in the Scriptures. And there are those who refuse to accept the Scriptures. And from those people, we still need to be concerned for their soul. We still need to try to teach them the truth. but we are separate from them in the sense that we're following Christ. And so that's the standard.
Mm-hmm. And even though they didn't see eye to eye with each other, mm-hmm. in a sense they were alike in being different, more or less. But they looked at Christians as viewing things totally different from the way they looked at things.
Right. Freddie's making the point that we can consider the Pharisees and Sadducees and different sects of the Jews, and that they viewed Christianity as something totally different, that they kind of had an alliance between themselves against Christianity, would be one way to put it. And so that's one of the reasons that the Sadducees and Pharisees looked at Christianity as a sect. And, you know, we could talk all day about how they failed, the Pharisees and the Jewish leadership failed to recognize the fulfillment of prophecy when Jesus came. They failed to recognize who Jesus really was. And so to them it was just, you know, some group that was totally different than they were.
crucified with Christ, and the one that they were really looking for and yet didn't know it.
Right. Freddie makes the point that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2, and he tells them what they've done with regard to crucifying Christ, that a lot of them realized that he was right and obeyed, but some of them still refused. But they just didn't recognize Jesus for who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The Brother Stephen's making the point that some consider it possibly difficult to tell the difference between Pharisees and Sadducees, and basically it was that the Pharisees believed in resurrection and the Sadducees didn't. And so that's a classic example of a division within the group of the Jews over a particular belief. Whoops, I go back, I skipped E. So our attitude towards sex involves the idea that heresies or sects must be that they which you the sentence doesn't make sense, but anyway, they revealed who was on the Lord's side. Again, back in 1 Corinthians, this time in chapter 11 and verse 19, this is an occasion where Paul's getting on to the Corinthians about their observance of the Lord's Supper. And verse 19 says, "For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I did not praise you." So there were some divisions and factions among them. Some had to do with recognizing a certain group of people and so forth. And there were those, they were basically turning the Lord's Supper into a common meal. They weren't doing it together as it should be done. pleading with all men to come out from among any sectarian view. So our attitude would involve pleading with all men to come out. I kind of briefly mentioned that a while ago, that there are those who are not familiar with the scriptures, or not familiar enough, or misinterpret it, or things of that nature, that we need to be involved in helping to teach them and try to help them to come out of that sectarian view. One of those passages is Romans 10, 1 through 3. Paul writing to the Romans, excuse me. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So There are those that try to assert their own righteousness, and you know, Paul recognizes that they have a zeal. They're very zealous about what they're believing and practicing, but that zeal is not according to knowledge. And so the idea is to help those who have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge, to help them understand and come to a knowledge of Christ and what he would have us to do. Any other comments? It's about time for the bell to ring. And that's, yes.
So I think one of the key pieces here, as it talks to our community, is that there are going to be times in which people may not actually agree on every single aspect of something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's the dissension piece that is critical here, right? Is that there are going to be differences of opinions, and some differences of opinions may not be as important as others. And as a church, right, body, and what the elders have to look at is that we can't allow certain dissensions to occur, right? So, you know, something like whether there's two songs, then a prayer, then another song.
Right. Right. Greg's making the point that even within a scriptural body of people, we may have differences of opinion about various things, and some things are more important than others. And he used the example of you know, whether we ought to have two songs and then a prayer, or in other words, the order of the worship. And you know, everybody might have a different opinion about how that should be done. But what we need to do is when we have a difference of opinion, look at the scriptures and see what they teach and so forth. And the order of worship, there are certain elements of worship that we need to have in there, but in what order that we do them and so forth is up to the leadership of a particular congregation. Whether that's elders, in a case where a congregation has elders, or whether it's with the men of the congregation that make that decision. And so there are some things that that we may have a difference of opinion on, but we can't separate ourselves from one another based on that. We need to take the scriptures and look back at them. All right, I see the kids coming out. Wednesday night, our attitude towards accepting each other.